Today's daf is daf Yud Beis, and we're holding at the first of the larger lines. Beit Hillelim Befruta. So yesterday we went through the Shittot in Beit Shammai. We had four different approaches to why it is that Beit Shammai held that it has to be Bediner. Today we get to the other Shittah in the Mishnah, which is how we fast it, that Kiddushin is Befruta. Sovereign of Yesu Lamima, that the meaning of Pruta is Koldu. In other words, whatever is the smallest coin, that's considered to be the Pruta. It's not that a Pruta has a very specific weight that is linked to silver. I mean, that was the whole point of Beit Shammai, at least according to one approach, is that there really is a silver value that the Torah is interested in. Once you're ready to go down to a Pruta, that means already you're not talking about silver. So it means you don't take the meaning of kicha kicha misteyefron as being nasati kesev asada dafka. So if that's the case, what you're looking at is what people view as being a minimal coin, minimal value, and that of course will change according to the generations as they peg their coins to different values of silver, and the value of silver as a commodity changes as well. So anyway, the values of the currency changes, and therefore pruta simply means whatever the penny is at that time. Well, how can you say that if the Mishnah says well, why in the world would the Mishnah seek to peg the pruta to the shear of the amount of silver in an Isra Italki? So it's actually telling us that a pruta is one half a grain of silver. What would be the point of that? Maybe you're just giving us the value initially of the interrelationship in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu's door. Abel Hacha, but I mean, once you're at a different door, so then maybe it will be whatever it is that people view as a minimal value. But I can tell you, that Valkiata Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said there were actually cases that he witnessed in Eretz Yisrael where a woman had accepted Kedushin, and it was with a pruta, and Rav Simoi was Mishaer in his door, that the value now of a pruta is echad mishmona b'Yisrael Yitalki. So that means that he would passel a kedusha, even though it would use the pruta. He said, this is not a pruta, because the real pruta has to be worth a half a grain of silver. This pruta isn't worth a half a grain of silver, so the kedusha is not a kedusha. So obviously it was a real value. Otherwise, what's he going around figuring out what today's value would be? V'chiyasa ravin omer rabbi destoye. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Oshaya. So Rabin also said that there was a best in that Rabbi Destoy, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Oshaya, all of them were Mishayer at their time. That Kama Abiputach Abishishami Sara Italki. So that it required, we'll see later on why they came out with a sixth, and they came out with an eighth, and that it actually had to do with currency fluctuations. But that, I mean, clearly everybody was interested in saying, if it isn't worth what it's got to be worth, so then you don't have to be chayshish for kiddushin. And if you say that it's whatever it is, then what were they even thinking about?
How much is this sort of grains.
The grain is a tiny part of it. So, I mean, that value system still is used by pharmacists. They still use grains. They use grains for very small measurements of very small valuable metal. And that was the original grain, one grain of the barley. Was the way that they've averaged out the grain of barley. Obviously now it's standardized. But no, it wasn't hard to standardize a grain of barley in your locality.
Today, how much
is it actually worth? It varies tremendously. It's a very volatile market. The silver market is very volatile. I just know somebody who lost $300,000 in silver this year alone.
So,
yeah. Very sad. He was sure that as the currency would fall, people would be buying metals. Go no. Okay, anyway, so Bruta Zechem Mishisha Bisari Talk. Omele Rav Yosef. Oh, yeah? So if that's the case, that a pruta cannot be worth less, explain to me. I know that I learned in a brayta. Say of shov, kama prutot b'shnei slaim. Figure out Now here we're trying to bring out how chomer an iser can be. So the Torah says you go ahead and you are moyel in one pruta by accident. Now, this is me'ilah. It's b'chayev you to bring a carbon, and this carbon hashem is worth to sell it. So you figure out that for that one pruta, you're going to be paying now to sell it, which means that you're going to be paying more than 2,000 times as much as what it is that you did. Yoser me'alpayim. So if that's the case, imagine how careful a person has to be at doing an iser. Now, this is ridiculous, says Rabbi Yosef, because that is not true. Where in the world do you come off saying that a pruta is worth more than 2,000? A sella is worth more than 2,000. Would they, a sella would be worth over 1,000 prutas, which is completely not true, because it's not even 2,000. It's certainly not more than 2,000. Hashta alpayim lo habu, as we're about to see. So yeter me alpayim karelu. Where do you come off with this that it's more than 2,000? It's a little bit over 1,500. Amalu ahusaba. We're going to be seeing all of these. It's not good to go through the values right now. We're going to be dealing with them in great detail in a moment. So amalu ahusaba ana tanina la korav alpayim. That's because you have the wrong gears. In other words, Yosef is saying, look, if you're telling me that the value of a pruta doesn't change over the generations, then this is stupid, because it's not more than 2,000. You're telling me, well, nowadays it's more than 2,000, so what? The value that the Torah was assigning wasn't 2,000, so you're trying to bring a lesson, that the Torah is going to punish you 2,000 more times over what it is that you did. It's certainly not true. And you're trying to bring me a lesson of the way people call a pruta, but according to you, gentlemen, that doesn't matter. The fruit is defined by a certain amount of silver, and therefore it is not 2,000. Certainly not more than 2,000. If the bride is using this as a serious proof, it must mean that I'm right. The bride is accepting the fact that the value of a fruit that changes according to the generation, and it simply means whatever a small coin is worth at that time, that people will view as being a transaction. So you see that I'm right? Comes to our Nusab and says, no, you had the wrong gears. It does not say more than 2,000. It says close to 2,000. Says, what are you close to 2,000? Says Rabbi Yosef. What are you getting the idea of close to 2,000? You figured out exactly. Okay, what does it come out to? Alpha v'chomesh mei of a class of Ishita. Now, that's all. It's only 1,536. Is that close to 2,000? Not in my world. So, how do you explain it anyway? So, clearly, it's changing, right? He says, give me a mara. Well, that's not already. Because when you want to teach a lesson, you can exaggerate a little. Because once it's more than 1,500, it's closer to 2,000 or 1,000. So it's a fair statement. It's close to 2,000. That's what we say, close to 2,000. Of course, once we start exaggerating, it's already more than 2,000.
19,000.
That's already the gears.
According to Malach, 1,999 isn't 2,000.
Of course not. but the stores know that.
You know what?
And you're not even close. They get to another two nines to the right of the decimal. It's amazing.
0.99.
All right. So basically, I mean, so here we're going to see that the sella is for dinner, which we're going to go into, and each dinner is 24 of the isser. Now, if the isser, the isser, which is the equivalent, that's the Roman isser, is the isser Yitalki, if it's only 8 prutas, so then that means, as we've shown earlier, you've got 192 of these prutas in every one of these dinners. And that means that in 8 of them, you've only got 1,500 plus. All right, so this is no raya. Rabbi Yosef has been able to prove his point. We've got a problem with Rabbi Yosef because we know our local mice. We try to make sure that our prutas are worth silver, and therefore, clearly, we're not positive like that. Kiyoser of Dimi, not Gufa. Let's just look at that because, I mean, how do you, if Lamaisa, it's pegged to the silver value in grains, so how do you explain the fact that we have two different evaluations? One of 8 per Isri Talki, one of 6 per Isri Talki. I mean, isn't it the same? Well, how did they come up with two different expressions? So, Gufa, Kesu Dimi Omar, Shir Rabbi Simoi, Bedoro, Kama, Abi Pruta, Echadish Bonabi Sari Tauke. And Kyoto Ravin Omar, Shir Rabbi Destoy, Rabbiani, Verboshaya, Kami Pruta, Echad Mishisha, Bisari Tauke. Now, what is this argument about? Omar Abayler of Dimi, is it that you basically are reporting to us that Rabbi Simoi And the way Rabin gave over the story, which was that there was the three beitin, the story of Yanin Rav Hoshaya. I mean, surely you can't be claiming that it was beplugged to Tanoim and Maflagit. You're saying that this is a Machlokas Tanoim? You're saying that they passed him like different Tanoim and that therefore they said the difference in their beitin, and there's really no Machlokas they were personally having. The Tanya. Pruta Shamru Chachamim. Echad Bishmona Bisara Yitalkei. Here is how we get the Cheshbon. Okay, now here finally we're coming to Machlokas Tanoim about the value of the Pruta. So the Tanakhama says we get to the Cheshbon like this. Look, first let's establish how many mo'os there are in a dinner on the way up. Okay, mo is a small coin, the dinner is a larger coin. 6 silver mo'os equals 1 dinner. Now let's go down from the mo'a and see how many prutas earn each mo'a, and then we'll multiply by 6 to get the value of the dinner. Now this really only works out if you're a bookie in Harry Potter and you know how many knuts there are, you know, and so on, because I mean, you know, you think that their monetary system was problematic. Nothing to it, says Hagrid, right? All right, but now we're gonna have to remember a lot of very strange coins over here. Okay, so we've got 6 ma's of kesef for a dinner. Now the ma is 2 pundyonim, which of course doesn't sound funny to us because we have the pound. Pundyonim are 2 pounds.
Okay.
So the ma, let's just start counting, multiplying as we go along. That way we won't lose track. So 1 ma is 2 pundyon. Okay, pundyon is 2 iser. Okay, that's 4. An iser is 2 musmasim, so that's 8. And a musmas is 2 kundrunkin, so that's 16. And a kundrunkin is 2 prutais, so that's 32. That means now going back up, because we have to multiply the ma in order to get the dinner by 6, so that means that the pruta itself would be 1/8 of the iser that we were talking about earlier, and that makes it only one hundred ninety-second part, therefore, of the actual dinner that we started off with all the way on the top. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, No, I agree with the first part. I mean, the interrelationship, yes, the interrelationship of the Sheish Ma Kesef as the dinner, that's correct. And that we're going to have to multiply the Sela being 4 dinner, the dinner being 24 Isser, yes. Okay, that's, I agree with you. However, we don't use your coinage. The coinage that we're using are 3 Hadarasin we have in every Ma, going down, okay? 3 Hadarasin. Now let's multiply as we go. So we have Shnei Hansin come in every hadris, okay, so that's now 6 to a ma, and we've got Shnei Shamnin we have for each hans, so that's 16. Shtei Prutas for Shamnin, this 32. Nimtza Prutachat Mishishabi Sara Italki. So according to this, you only got 1 out of 6, because you still have the Isser being only 1/24th of the dinner. But however, what he's saying is that the Prutas are larger, because if the dinner is 6 ma, the ma being now the 3 hadrasin, so we have 18 hadrasin per dinner, and we've got 36, which are 36 hansin, 72 shminim, 144 prutas, divided now by 24, and that gives you 6. And therefore, they're arguing, I don't know about what, but whatever it is that you're arguing in, it seems that one of you who was quoting now Rabbi Simoi, apparently holds like the Tanakhama, whereas Robin, who was saying that the 3 mandiyomrim that he quoted, they analyzed that it was a 6th, they would be going like a das yachid, a libid of shuvim amliel. Omar Leis, Rabbi said to him, no, that's not at all what happened. Well, we wouldn't have a machlokas in tanoim bismanenu. Of course, bein didiu, bein rovin, I'll leave it to Tanakhama. We are all agreed to the Mishnah, the Tanakhama over here in the Braita, that it's 1/8 of an Isri Talkis. You say, well, if it's 1/8, how did it get to be 1/6? Because you're ignoring currency fluctuations. Velokasha. Hodi iyakir isuri. Hodi zon isuri. The relationship over here that was left open to fluctuation was the evaluation of the Isser itself, in terms of now the dinarim. So where the iser was considered to be of full value, so then you had 24 of them in every zuz. If you have now zol, it was 32 per zuz. So that at that point the relationship to the zuz changed, in which case it now takes less prutas to equal what the current value is of the Isser, that's all. So it was the Isser that was fluctuating. Yeah. And we are keeping our heads on straight. We're evaluating it basically in terms of the relationship between the pruta and the dinar. So those are the given grain coins of silver. This is 1/192 of that. That's a given of that total value. And therefore, if you want to talk about it in terms of the Isser, you're going to have to consider what the current price is on the Isser. That's all. So Mamela, each over there, they were really arguing, but we weren't arguing. We were just responding to different generations' evaluation of what the Isser was in their time. But certainly the fundamental relationships remain the same. Okay, so now we're saying, not like Rabbi Yosef, that there's a specific value, which would mean that every time we have Kedushin, it's very simple for us to determine whether the Kedushin is kosher or not. And yet, Omar Shmuel, Kichabit Mara, a man goes ahead and he uses a date for Kedushin. I mean, after one date. So he takes this date, and this, even if an entire kur of Tamarim is worth only one dinner. Now, a kur of Tamarim being 30 saw, a saw equaling at least 10 liter, this would be a good-sized refrigerator completely filled with dates. Now, you can understand that if an entire refrigerator fills with dates is one dinner, there is no way that you're going to have a Shavar Pruta in a day. And nonetheless, Shmuel was Chayish for the Kedushin. Why? Because Chashin and Shemesh Shavar Pruta be Modai. Look, there's no dates in Modai. They're willing to pay a heck of a lot of money for a date. Which means that why should you say that the local value is the only thing that determines something? In the same way that we say that coinage is valuable because it's accepted all over. So if you have Shavar Pruta, how do you know that this isn't a Shavar? You know there are places where they pay a lot of money for a date. Okay, it happens to be around here in Buffalo. Dates are cheap. But in Madai, they're not cheap. So why not consider the valuation in Madai as well? Yes, the Gemara. I mean, so according to that, there's no value to condition, because anything that you give, you're going to have to consider. You never know. Yeah. Maybe in Greenland, this is worth something. Or if a guy was on the North Pole. So then what's the point of telling you Shavar Pruta? I mean, officially, if you tell me that the Pruta itself has a value, then we wouldn't try to link the value of a commodity to the value of a Pruta. Okay. But if you're telling me a Pruta, and how much is a Pruta? A Pruta is a half a grain of silver. And anything that's worth that Pruta. Yeah. But according to Shmuel, anything is worth anything. Because, I mean, you can just vary it according to the local requirements. So then how could what's the point of the Mishnah, leave it to Shmuel? Why would we always say that with Shema Shavar Pruta B'Modai? No, gosh, that's not... Shmuel isn't saying it is Kedushin. Shmuel is saying that it might be Kedushin. Obviously, the Mishnah has to define what is a Kedushin Vadai. If I have a suffix about a Kedushin, so now, let's say she goes and she's Mekabelis Kedushin from somebody else, and she'll need a get from both, or she'll have to get a... Oh, it's Nogea getting a get from this guy if she wants to Mekabelis Kedushin Vadai from another guy. So it's certainly Nogea Alok HaLamaisa. Shmuel is saying that this is a Kashash, but it's also very Nogea Alok HaLamaisa. And where do I not have a Kashash? And I know who she's married to? Shavar Pruta, locally. So I still have to know the value of the Pruta, right? Okay, so that explains it. Harbi Kedushi Vanai, Harbi Kedushi Suffix, so Enochinami, Kedushi Suffix, Shmuel is saying you always have to worry. Now, who Gavra? The Akdish Bezavda de Urdi. This guy had a suitcase full, or piles of, Udrij, probably say, because Udri means stuffing, like you would use for a pillow or a cushion. So, Yosef Rabshimi Barachir Kamei, the Rav, I mean, stuffing is just basically, you know, rejected the pieces of wool and junk that you pick up. I mean, is that where the Shavar Pruta? So Rabshimi Barachir is there, in front of Rav, in the Besdin, and he's being medayik. Is this where the Shavar Pruta? So then it would be a good Kiddush. But he lo. So now the problem is, I'll leave it the way Shmuel was learning, we let the Shavar Pruta lo. Why is he saying if it's not a Shavar Pruta, not? Vomer Shmuel Kashina. I mean, is this indeed a machlokas? And we're not makabel Shmuel? Didn't Shmuel say, well, you'd never really know? Okay, but Ravidi, I mean, he still needs to establish, Rav Shimi, I mean, Barchia, he still needs to establish whether it was Kiddush Yevade or not. So, lo kasha, but Kiddush Yevade, but Kiddush Yisafik. See, here, if it wouldn't have been with the Shavar Pruta, some shot low that there was something b'chayif. But it meant if she was Mekabelet Kiddushin from another guy, so she would need a get from the first one. There was another case where Gavda Dagish Gavda de Kuchel. A guy took a little piece of marble that was dark, black marble, and it's like the very, very dark blue they use for Kuchel, for the eye. So it's basically a black piece of marble. Yotze Reb Chista v'kamishayel, and Reb Chista trying to figure out whether it's worth Shavar Pruta. He eat b'Shavar Pruta, he didn't lo. So again, he let b'Shavar Pruta lo. I thought, Amar Shmuel Hashina. Well, Reb Chista lo summer later Shmuel. Reb Chista no longer Shmuel. Why didn't we say the same thing we said before? It's just like Kedushe Vadai or Kedushe Sofik. How come we say over here that it definitely doesn't hold of it? So he says, starting over here, that the chashash of the Kedushin was that the brother was Mekadosh. So Reb Chista wanted to come along to say that the first one's Kedushin was Bechlal, not a Kedushin, as we're going to see in a moment, because otherwise the Sugya doesn't work out. So if the din would have been that the Kedushin and Rishonim were even a Suffolk, that would have meant you required a get. But if you required a get, anyway you would have asked her to the second brother, because she would have been Eshesach, even after she gets a get. So in this case, we can't say that he was trying to figure out if it was a Suffolk, because it wouldn't make any difference. Because even if it was a suspect, it would have remained also to the other one. The only thing we could say is that he doesn't hold that, according to, he holds that value is always local. And the Mela, we never have any reason to be chayish with such a thing. So his mother comes to him and says, now wait a minute over here. The Ahu Yuman Akitcha, that day that he was Makadish with this, it was worth a Shavar Pruta. So I'm telling you, it was like there's been a big fall in the value of marble since then. And, this is bad news, because she was really Mekudeshet to the first one. You're saying she's Muteret. Omar La. So he says to her, you are not believed. Lav Ko Kaminev. You can't come along now to tell me the Asartla Abatra, that the second one who was Mekudesher, he doesn't get a chance to keep his wife, because you're telling me that the first one's Kedusha was a good Kedusha. I mean, isn't this the same exact case? We had a famous case of Lav Hainu, the Yehudit, the Vita de Rebbe Chia. It was once a Meister. Rebbe Chia married a woman whose name was Yehudi, and she had a miserable time, because every time she had births, it was multiple births. She was going absolutely bananas. So she figured out a way in which she would force her husband to divorce her, or at least to be kind, she was not allowed to sleep with her anymore. So what the Maisha over there, when she comes to him, to Amulet Tsar Leda, Rashi brings it, we even know actually the names of four of these twins, because the Gemara talks both about Yehuda and Chizkia, famous Yehuda and Chizkia, but also about Pazi and Tami, the girls. So it's a rare historical little tidbit. Anyway, so she says, my mother was talking, and she told me the most terrible thing I don't know what to do. That when I was a little girl, my father was Makabu Kedushin from a guy who ran away. So, this is terrible. It turns out I'm married to somebody else. So she says, my mother was telling me that Kibo Pecha Avuch Kedushin Kizutrat. Your father's Makabu Kedushin from some guy when you were little, and we sort of forgot about it. So he says, Zerpia says to her, sorry, your mother does not have any kind of legal power to answer you on me, this ain't going to help. But the pharmacist might. So I'm really Rabbanan the Rabchista. So Rabbanan asked Rabchista, why do you say that? Am I? I mean, Ha'ika Sahade Be'idit Diyade, you're saying, okay, the mother's not believed, fine, the mother's not believed. There is a rumor that there were experts that were here during the fair that were estimating the value, and they're available. I mean, they're available. It's very far away. Tosfos says Idit is not the name of a place. It's mistaken years over here, and that the correct word is Urit. Urit is a lashon of in the west, meaning towards Eretz Yisrael, because we call the west the Makom Hashem Oriya. So Urit is very interesting for names. Anybody wants to call a daughter Urit. So Orit would be the Lashon of where the Shekhinah is, where the light of God is. And we'll see, we refer to the location. So it just means that if you'll go to the west, then you'll find these witnesses. And the Tosfos obviously doesn't mean that we know Vaday, that that's what they said, because someone's going to be Matir. Nor does it mean maybe there's witnesses. Why would I be Chayesh? But it means that we know there were people around, and there's rumors that are saying that those people indeed said that it was worth the Shavar Pruta on that day. Said Rav Chista, so there's witnesses somewhere on the earth. What, I got to worry about witnesses is somewhere on the earth. Hashtamia, at this point, let no come up. They're not here. I mean, we had a famous case like that. Because Lavaina the Rebbe Hanina, isn't this the famous Maisa of Rebbe Hanina? The Amr Rebbe Hanina, Edea Betzad Istan, Veteaser. So there the Maisa was, a really fascinating story. The daughters of Shmuel were, we had listened to the Dachyomi for many years. You know? So they were captured by these Goyim, which would have meant that if the Goyim would have brought them in and demanded the ransom, then they would have been Asurais to Kahuna, because the assumption was that they were raped. Mashenke, if they go in and they say, listen, we were captured, but nothing happened, so then it's a Pesha, it's a Pesha either, right? So they explain to the kidnappers, look, if you guys go in to the Beis Hamikdash and you demand ransom, you're going to get a very poor ransom, because we're not going to be worth very much. So why don't you guys stay out here? We'll go in and say that we were captured, and then you can come in and ask for the ransom. So they go in, and they say, you know, we were captured, but it's fine. So they pass them that they're kosher. Then the guys come in with their guns and say, all right, stick them up. Either you're going to pay or we're taking them back. But at that point, they were mutares. Yes. So over there, they also had the problem, but there are rumors that there were witnesses that watched the kidnapping, in which case it doesn't mean they're peshas or peshayitir. This is definitely a good reason to make sure your kids all hear the Daf Yomi. Yeah, exactly. You never know what's gonna come up in life, right? So if that, and look at the Gemara says in Saita, you need to teach your daughter Torah, yeah, because she might be a Saita one day. And she requires this close to the parents. Okay, in any event. So Rabbi Hanina said over there, okay, so what? So there's rumors, there's Aden in the Istan means now to the north. That Bava was referred to as the north. I mean, how could Eretz Yisrael be the west and Bava be the north? I mean, so then why wouldn't Eretz Yisrael be the south? This is the point, isn't it? Obviously, I mean, both directions are usable. It's in that direction, the southwest. But the idea is that each one was referring to the getter, the way that the territory was bring plus proof that it's called Tzofin. Each one refers to the way in which the Tzofin is means hidden. And that's the Istan, so it's the place where the Shekhinah is hidden. Uria is the place where the light of the Shekhinah shines. Each one referred to the location according to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. But anyways, we're saying, so what if there's Aden there? So because of that should be Osir. Now, Abaye Varava, they disagreed with Rav Chisda. So what Rav Chisda is saying, that just because Rabbi Hanina in the previous door was matir, the daughters of Shmuel, and ignored the fact that there's rumors about Aden, I mean, of course, but that's because the only history over there was a shvuya in a kilo b'shvuya. Now our girsa is, and doesn't have this girsa, although he says that he knows there are places that have this girsa. In a kilo b'shvuya, the menavla nafshaga b'shavoy. Just because we were making the case of a shvuya, but a shvuya does her best not to be raped, so she tries to make herself look terrible and whatever it is that's going to put him off. So therefore, we should be mako by an ashes ish. Now, we don't even without this girsa. Tosfos says, you could say simply, if we're mekel by a shvuya, it's only because the edus doesn't mean anything, because all the edus are saying is that she's shvuya. The fact that we should ask her based on that, she was shvuya, I mean, that's our assumption, it's not testimony, that she was raped. So that's also a possibility, wouldn't even make a difference. But there's also a possibility, says Tosfos, some learn, that in Ikilu B'Shvuyah, which is only an Isra Lav, an Isra B'Zayna to a coin is an Isra Lav, to be Mako by an Ashes Ish, which is an Isra Misa, we wouldn't be Mako. It's very interesting that Tzitzis rejects that. Why does he reject it? It's fascinating. But Pashtus, you would say that the question that we would judge such an issue on is its immediate impact, right? So this is an Isra Lav, this is an Isra Misa. Says Tosfos, but why would it be based on the immediate impact? It has to be based, and we find Tosfos doesn't bring this, but we find this by talking about the same halacha. It has to be based on its ultimate potential impact. So if you take, let's say you're accepting that she's not a zona, she marries a kohen. The kohen's children, it turns out she really is a zona. The kohen's children will be b'nei grusha, b'nei chalusa. She gives them a din of a zar. If they go in now to do the avoda, so a zar she'avah v'shaya misa. So Mamela, turns out anyone could have end up doing something that may cause ultimately a chiyuv misa, so why would we be mekel? Interesting. Okay, so see, we have three possible approaches to why we'd be mekel. So lav versus of Yemisa, or it's because our Girsa, that the woman makes sure that she isn't raped as much as possible, or even if there are witnesses, the witnesses aren't to the Isser, the witnesses are to the kidnapping. We create an Isser because we say, well, if she was kidnapped, she's probably raped, but that's us, Labdaka. All right, so now, therefore, said Abai Avarava, even though Rav Chisda is right at saying Rabbi Chanina was matur this, you have no right to be matur in this case. We're talking about an Isher Ish that goes in and gets married to the other guy's brother. Ahu Gavra. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish. Now, you should know that there were actually children that were left from that family in Surah, from the Psak of Rav Chisda, and people refused to marry them. Rabbonim were perish for them. Porsche Rabbonim in there. Not because the Sphirolo or the Shmuel, it's not because they were chayish that maybe the marble was worth something somewhere else, but rather because the Sphirolo Kabay Avarov, they held it where there's rumors of testimony, you had no right to be Mekel, like Abay Avarov was saying in the case of Eshishish. Now, who gave the Akish Beshutita the Asa Beshuka? There was a guy who used some Hadassim. And he took a bundle of Hadass and he went, not even a bundle, one stick of Hadass. That had a lot of pieces coming out of it in the middle of an open place, and he gives it to a woman for kedushin. Shofar Avakav Arunu Kamei Rav Yosef. What do we do in such a case? Do we have to be chayish and so on? Sholach Le. First thing is beat the guy up. Nag kirav, and then, and I'll explain in a minute. And then, as far as what's about the kedushin, the guy's going to have to write out a get. Atzurchu a get like Shmuel, because Rav was mangish al mekadesh b'shuka. For Rav Bichlal, if somebody went to his Makadish in the open market, he felt that that was such a sense of cheapening and chutzpah. Do something intimate in a market like that, that he would actually have a guy beaten up, Marcus Martis, for such a thing. Or somebody was Makadish Bibiya. So here's very interesting. What's wrong with being Makadish Bibiya? So Tosis brings, some say, what's wrong with being Makadish Bibiya? That what's the pritzusa of being Makadish Bibiya? The fact that you need witnesses. So it's not nice to be Baal or even to be Miyachid, a woman. But you don't really need, I mean, if you say, I'm going to sleep with her, it's also not nice. But Tosfos says, no, it can't be the case. Because the same thing is true by Yevama. And over there, you don't need for the Chavos of the Yevam to have witnesses. So it must be that the issue is, that as we've discussed many times, the whole idea of Kiddushin, which in our minds means to provide a context for intercourse, is violated over here. Because to use the Bia itself as the Kiddushin is almost a contradiction in terms. So therefore, even though the Torah used this as a Kiddushin, but it's a princess not to do something to provide for the context for it. So even if it wouldn't be for the need for Edom, it would be Pritzusa. This type of behavior itself is Pritzusa, says Tosfos. Or somebody's Makadish, a woman without Shidukin. They didn't go out. Nobody discussed this. He sees this beautiful girl and he says to her, will you marry me? It's ridiculous. Or somebody who's mevatel a get, so we know what the dinner's over there, that we had the whole sukkah back in Gittin. Somebody appoints a shliach, go ahead and gives a get. And then he's mevatel a get, Besdin. Rashi says he was mevatel a get to the shliach, that doesn't make sense. If he's mevatel a get to the shliach, so the shliach knows not to get a get, what harm could come of that? It means if he's mevatel and Besdin with the shliach not around, the shliach not knowing. So he'll give the get, and then we'll run into trouble. Aye, what about the fact that Lamais and the Rabbonim, in that case, end up being mevatel the kedushin? But he creates rumors that children are mamzerim. It's a terrible thing to do. He'll go around saying, well, it was mevatel the get, it wasn't a get. So somebody does such a thing, he was also, would bring him into court, and would use the get of nine tails on. The other Maser Moda Agita. Somebody goes ahead and he's being the best and is forcing him to give a get. So he calls in witnesses and he says, look, you gotta know, this best is forcing me to give this get. I hereby in advance tell you this get is bottle. I don't want to give the get. Which of course doesn't mean a darn thing because they force the thing about all hodos and hodos and hodos and so on and so forth. That's so kol olam. And so Mamela, there's no way you can be mevatel all that. And all that he's doing again is he's spreading the word that the kids, probably mom's arms, stay away from it, don't let her get married. So that's just a guy who's interested in making the world a terrible place. And so he would beat him for that. And now the Mitzayr Shluchat Rabban and somebody who, when a summons arrives to come to court with a shliach, he gets mad at the guy and he's been siring him on some level and doesn't treat him with respect. The Al-Khalashamti Lutlatin Human, also a guy who's been sitting there under a cherem from Bezin. It's under Nidui for something or other. Bezin said, look, if you don't give a get within 30 days, you know, you should be prepared. And he sits there for 30 days with that cherem. I don't care. At that point, you start beating him up. And Al-Khatne de Dair Bechamuya. If a son-in-law lives in a mother-in-law's house, very suspicious. You remember the Gemara says elsewhere, to always watch out with your wife, with her first son-in-law. So the Gemara says, if it's a woman, the Gemara says, she gives him money all the time, steals the money from you. So, take money. And the other one says, no, because she's often attracted to him. And so the Gemara says, both are true. So therefore, you shouldn't live in the house with her. Huh? She gives him money. Very difficult way to make it. I actually know a case where a guy was sleeping with his mother-in-law for years. Mamish's Gemara. Couldn't get away from her. He's going nuts. Mamish the Gemara, Allah Allah Maisa. Huh? Yeah. So says the Gemara, is Dyer?
What do you mean, he lives?
That's the only time it's Osir? You mean the Dyer, Ian, but Chalik Lo? A guy who just walks by his mother-in-law's house. That's not bad enough to beat him up? Thank you, man.
Hey, I'm a mother.
This is great. It's a great thing. I'm sorry. I really have to move to Glen Hazel. We got a great deal, and you know they're going to beat me up. The Ahu Chatana, the Cholif Abavad Bechamua. It was once a Meisa with her son-in-law passed by the door of his in-laws, and they beat him up. Rip Sheshes brought him into court, and they beat him. But not Rip Sheshes. No, that's because everybody knew what he was putting down there for. That was the problem. There the rumors were rampant about what was happening. So over there they wanted to keep him out of the neighborhood. But normally speaking, we only beat you up for actually, you know, living there. But if not, it's not a problem. So all of these things are mishum pritzusra. Tosfos says nowadays, where the in-laws, you know, will often support the kids. So then nobody thinks they're living there because of anything else but the money. So there's no chashash in there, which we'll see later on.
Unless it's in Brackman.
What's that?
Unless it's in Brackman.
Well, he's south in
America. Yeah, it's south. In Breed.
They say it's for the money.
No.
Yeah.
They have the Hallmark cards that say, happy birthday, Uncle Dad.
It's like Appalachia in this way. So some say that Rav would give Malkus from all of this. But actually, Nardai Amre, that this is not true. None of the above cases would Rav give Malkus for. He would give Malkus on a combination where a guy sees a beautiful girl and doesn't say, will you be Mukadesha to me without ever having talked to her before. He says, will you go to bed with me? But we'll make it very serious. You know, it'll be a condition. That he felt was outrageous already. So there he would be Magin. Or some say, even if it was with Shiduchi. So in other words, he would be Magin for Bia alone. Mishum Pritzusa, and as Tosfos explained, the Pritzusa is using Bia for Kedusha. So based on this, that the Nardoi said Rav wasn't so marked, but Tosfos says, or Inokinami, because of that, it means that nowadays, where we can add the idea that people are not choshesh, because they have other explanations, so that's why the minhag today is that actually people do live with their in-laws. Ahu gavet kadosh betzivta da'asa. There was this guy who went ahead and he took a mat that was made out of hadassim, which is about, it's basic kids make that kind of stuff. It's a mat of hadassim. So he goes and he gives it to her. And she accepts it. So they said to him, I'm like, well, I said, where's the Shavar Pruta? So there's no Kashash of Kedusha. Well, let me Shavar Pruta. Amalo, aha! You didn't look carefully enough, did you? Tikdosh be arba zuzi de itpe. Pull the thing apart and you'll find inside this little diamond ring. She didn't know about it. So there, so what happens? Shakalta? Vishtika. And she takes it now. Meaning, not that she takes it for the first time, but she holds on to it. No, she doesn't throw it back at him. And she doesn't say anything. Omar Rava, so then this is not a Kedusha. Because what she was Mekudeshes with was the initial gift which she assumed was the mat. The mat was not worth a Shavar Pruta. Mm. She never indicated that she's willing now to accept this as Kedusha, because now she's getting a diamond ring. And all of a sudden, she's pulling it apart. Because she didn't say yes. She didn't say yes. It's shtikuta d'lachar matan ma'od. It's after you already gave it to her. If she's quiet after you gave it to her, there's no assumption. La kumi, there's no assumption. That just because she holds on to something, then now she wants to be a kadeshik with that something when she didn't know that it was there before. I'll prove it to you, says Rav. I'm Rav Yehonami. The Tanya, I'm the kinsi sela zukipikata. Guy comes over to a woman. He says, take this sela and hold it for me. And then he says to her, you know what? It got you to go. Why don't you keep it and be my wife? So if it was b'sha'at matan ma'od mikudashat, if now, before she actually takes it, he says, hey, you know what? Why don't you just keep it? And then she takes it. So then her act of acceptance, because she didn't say no, since she went ahead and accepted it, under the circumstances, is an acceptance of kedushin. But if she'd already taken it, and then it's v'achar matan ma'od, and she doesn't say anything, so then, we'll see, we're going to analyze it, what the ratzta means in a moment. So if ratzta, if she wants to be mekudeshet, then she's mekudeshet. But lo ratzta in a mekudeshet, if she doesn't want it, it's not. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think the word want means? Lo, what is the meaning of ratzta, and what is lo ratzta? But do you think ratzta means that she says, okay, I'll accept it. And lo ratzta means that she said no? Is that the point? So in other words, Michlal Dereisha, the first case where it didn't say any distinction between Ratzta or Lo Ratzta, obviously implies that no matter what the case is, whether she wanted the Kedushin or didn't want the Kedushin, she's Mekudeshes. Is that what it means? But we believe that she's Mekudeshes even though she says, no, I don't want it. So of course it doesn't mean that. So Ratzki, Amra Lo, she says, quote, no, I don't want to take it for myself. I'll keep it for you. I have no intention of being Mekudeshes. Nonetheless, it's Kedushin. That would be mad. Of course it can't mean that. Aman, Hakamra Lo, she's saying no. So that can't mean that. Elalav, the only way to understand the word Ratzta is where she openly says, in, yes, I do want it. But Lo Ratzta means that she doesn't say I want it. Dishtika Mishtika, she's quiet. So in the first case, even though she doesn't say anything, she takes it from him. And he says, look, I'm giving this to you to keep the Kedushin. And she takes it. So under those circumstances, that's a Kabbalah. She doesn't have to say, I do. It's not a church. So she was a Kabbalah Kedushin, it's a Kosher Kedushin. But in this case, where she's quiet and doesn't protest, and it's not Kedushin, that's the point. So you see from here that Shtika, the difference between the first case and the second case, in the first case he said it before she took the Mitzvah, in the second case he said it afterwards. So you see that shtika, shvamina shtika, the lachar matan ma'od, v'lav kumuma, that after you've already accepted something under one set of circumstances, and now discover that it's meant to be yours under another set of circumstances, and that it's worth more than you thought, and so on, that wouldn't matter.
Why not shtika kumuma?
Because she already took it, and under the whole, let's wait. The Gemara's going to ask him, you'll see it's included in the Gemara's kasha. So now, the Karshu Baba Pumnara, Vishmeidur Vunabrether of Yeshua, in Pumnara they said, this is very, very poor Raya that he's bringing, that Shtika is not going to meet Dami. It's not the same at all. In the first case, it was initially presented to her as asking her, do me a favor and watch my wallet. So then he says, nah, just keep the wallet. This is after she already took it. So what exactly is she supposed to do on this circumstance? She already took it to be a Shomeret. So there, it's not the same at all. She took it as a pikadon. So what's she going to say now? She's going to say, absolutely not, and throw it back. I mean, she can't. Because Savra, she thinks to herself, if anything happens to her, I throw it out of his face. I mean, I've already accepted responsibility for it, so I can't take any chances with this. I can't just throw it back at him. I'm at least a shomer. So I just ignore the idiot. I'll keep it for shmir, and that's it. So, Sovish Shadino Lamit, if anything happens to it, it breaks, gets lost, then I'm going to be responsible. Mechayav Nabu, because I already accepted it as a Shomeret. But Ahacha Batarat Kiddushin Yavino Niyala. He gave me now this mat as Kiddushin. And I accepted it as Kiddushin. Then they tell me, well, it's not worth the Shabbat proof. Okay. Now he tells us a diamond ring that's inside. I find the diamond ring, right? So over there, in this case, if she didn't want to be Mekudeshet, why don't she throw it back? Get out of here when you play games with me. So she should have thrown it back. Let her throw it back. So what kind of raya is that? Says Rav Achoy. So in other words, all women are big Talmidei Chachamim. Like they make this whole analysis. Do I have a din of a Shomeres? Or if I was a Kabbalah of Pateres Kedushin, but it wasn't a Kedushin because it was a Chatzim, and the Brisker Rav holds it. Like, what kind of crazy thing is that? Oh, the Kula Noshi Dinei Gemara Mila, but they're all like Bikim in the din. No matter what the case is, I mean, she may be worried. She doesn't know what to do. She's caught off guard. We see very often. Person's caught off guard. A crazy situation. I know what to do. I took it. Do I have a right to throw it out? Do I have to throw it out? Do I have to protest? So she doesn't know what to do. So therefore, maybe she thinks, she's worried about throwing it back. Nonetheless, you see that as far as the woman is concerned, despite the fact that these two cases are exactly the same, that we did not take her shtika to mean anything because it was initially accepted with the understanding that the thing itself was a kedusha and not for the diamond ring that's hidden. And the same thing is true over here. The sella, I took it as a shomer, nothing else. So it's a perfectly valid raya that he's bringing. Shtika, leyach, kabbalas vatan mos, doesn't indicate anything because kabbalas mos itself is defined as it was at that moment. You can't now say, aha, but there's something new here. That's not enough. Unless she says, I do.
So they're not all